Open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Last week we talked about who we are in Him, where we are, who He is, and who He is in us. This week, let's look at some of the dilemmas the Colossians went through in chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Laodicea was one of the churches Jesus spoke to in Revelation. Jesus told them, "Ye are neither hot or cold. I wish you were one or the other." Laodicea were rich monetarily, but bankrupt spiritually. Both Laodicea and the Colossians were hit by an earthquake. But Laodicea, being wealthy, was able to rebuild without Rome's help. Verse 2 says, "That their hearts might be comforted," meaning, "may they be soothed in their affliction, being knit together in love," or connected, "and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Just like us today, they needed to understand why Christ came and for who. Paul said that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The world would have you believe Christ is not our hope. They would have you to believe He did not die for you. Earlier, Paul said God would make known what the riches of glory and the mysteries among the Gentiles. The mystery then was calling the Gentiles to be fellow heirs with the Jews. For God has said this in Romans 11, 21 through 25. That's Romans 11, 21 through 25. "For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee." You see, the natural branches are the natural Jews. We are the branch that has been grafted in, which makes us spiritual Jews. So if God did what He did to the Jews naturally, don't you think He will do what needs to be done to us as well? Verse 22 says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness of severity of God on them which fail," severity or severity, "but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." God has spared us and shown us goodness and compassion. Therefore, let us be obedient and continue. "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Just like God was able to graft us into the vine, He also able to graft those that have turned from Him back into the vine. "For if thou were cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree?" God can bring in who He chooses, Jew or Gentile. God can remove who He chooses, Jew or Gentile. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Back to Colossians. "But I have you to know that the mystery of God is a plan of redemption in God and Christ, which unites the Jews and the Gentiles in one body under Christ's head. Just like the Jews had tunnel vision, who could know God then, and just like they have the same tunnel vision now, if we are not careful, we can take on the same attitude, thinking we know who Christ can save and use today. It is Jesus that unites us with all and receive all that have received him and knowing who Jesus Christ is. I want you to know a mystery is something that cannot be explained or fully understood, but they must be revealed by the one who knows it. Father God is revealing his son to those that are his. For us, salvation is no longer a mystery. It is not available to all. It is now available to all that believe in Christ. For all that believe and receive Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and allow him to be the head, can be united by faith in grace, which is the abundant words of life. Now look at verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The treasures that were hid are no longer hid. Christ, the mediator, is our treasure. And the wisdom and knowledge in him are the abundant treasures we need. 1 Corinthians 1:24 said that, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Meaning Christ has appeared to both Jew and Gentiles as the power of God. And through him, the power of salvation comes. In the wisdom of God, we can see beauty in his character, excellency in his doctrine. In the treasure of his knowledge, we see guidance in the way of life. We are able to be instructed in all that is desirable to know. And we don't have to surrender to the philosophy or teachings of man. Verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Man wants to deceive you when it comes to salvation. Man wants to make you believe you can do anything and still be saved. In Romans, it tells us, mark them which cause division and offense, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. It also tells us, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of many. Again, the world wants to convince you salvation is not real. Their goal is to stir up confusion and disbelief. But most of all, they want to merchandise you for their personal gain. Others prey on you so you will follow them. Philippians 3:18-19, Paul says this, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Note, it says they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, and their God is their belly. And all the world cares about is themselves. Look at verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul was in prison and naturally in bondage then. Prison being a place of restriction, loss of liberty, or confinement. Paul rejoiced in the faith in Christ. But prison can also be a state of spiritual bondage. Religions or denominations can hold or confine you in bondage by their doctrine and traditions. Jesus said he came to preach deliverance to the captive. And he who the Son makes free is free indeed. Jesus came to free us from religion and denominations. He died that we would not be confined to their beliefs. Did you know Most trends of the world become a trend in the church. One reason for this is the church refuses to separate themselves from the world by embracing what they do. Churches are afraid to stand against, but instead have embraced the LGBTQ movement. They are protesting with the world. Churches are now depending on the world for support in order to survive as a church. They do things like this in order to maintain a certain level of membership. Just because someone in your family somewhere are doing these things does not make them right. The scriptures are clear. They warn us to come out from among them. Verse 6 of Colossians says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him." The things we've been taught about the Father, the things we have learned about Jesus, what we have been taught about God's will, and what we have learned about salvation as we have received these teachings, don't let anyone convince you otherwise, but walk in them and do them. Then it tells us in verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Even after reading what it says in verse 6, this is not enough. We must go deeper. We must do more than read it and walk in it. We need to be rooted in it, which means to have a support in what we believe, to firmly establish in it, to become unmovable. We need to be built up and add to what we have received. Regardless of how deep we think we are rooted, we are not rooted deep enough. Our faith needs to be built up. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, having the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." We must study the things we believe and begin to believe what we study. We must make them a practice in our lives. This must be lived and taught by example. And it's sad to say this, God's people are beginning to disregard what is written. They're beginning to embrace what is spoken by the men of this world who don't know Christ. Verse 8 in Colossians 2. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." What do we need to beware of today? First, let's define beware. It means to be cautious or to be on guard. Be cautious and on guard with personal opinions of others. Protect what goes into your ears. The world corrupts your faith in Christ by philosophy. Philosophy is simply an educated opinion of distorted facts. Remember, Paul said, "Mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned." And then he said, "Avoid them." In Hebrew, he said, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines." This is another reason you should not forsake yourselves. There are too many strange doctrines out there. Just like we try to protect our children from gangs and predators, pimps and drugs and other things, Father is trying to protect us from Satan, with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Satan is still trying to steal the word from us, kill the relationship we have, and destroy our soul. What is important for us to know is in verse 9. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Remember, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Everything we need is in Christ. Father has given him all power. He has given him all authority. And he has full supported by the Spirit of God. 1 Peter 3:22 tells us, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Christ came into the world as the representative of God to bring and establish his will among men, to restore what was lost. Verse 10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. In Christ is where everything dwells, the wisdom which is needful to guide us, the atonement to be made free from sin, meaning Jesus took it and provided us with the worth by which we can be justified, and gave us the grace needed to sustain us in the trials. All this came and through the victory of Jesus' life. There is a song Angelo and Veronica sings, Won't You Give Your Life Today? We need to give our life to Christ fully, completely, and totally. John says, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Paul said, but of him are you in Christ, Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So in Christ, we are complete. We have what we need to be justified in salvation. Christ has the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him, meaning there is nothing that can touch him. Man could not kill him. Death could not sting him. And the grave could not hold him. With us, no weapon formed against us can prosper. We are more than conquerors. We are heirs and joint heirs, sons and daughters of the Most High. We are the ambassadors of Christ. That is all the time I have for this evening. I hope you tune in next time. With that, my time is up, and I thank you for yours.